world. Welcome to Journey of Discovery with the Body Owl. Today I have the pleasure of speaking with Natalie Roy, actress, spiritual teacher, and author of 30 Years, 30 Lessons, collaborator on the I'm Impossible Project and Let's Play. She co-founded Create and created the Activated Actor Technique. Natalie is also a certified yoga instructor and expert in visualization techniques. Wow. Okay, so that's an amazing bio, first of all. You've accomplished so many things. I'm not even sure where I want to start, but I'm inclined to start with Create, because it seems to be like, I don't know, it's exciting to me. I don't know what it is. So can you explain to me what Create is?
Absolutely. So I have always been this like deeply creative, intuitive little soul since I was like a little kid. The one thing that was missing for me as I was coming up as an actor was I just felt separate. I felt like there wasn't a lot of community amongst other actors specifically, and then amongst other creators. It's like you get to be really good friends with people while you're working on a show or a project together, and then the project ends and then everyone disperses. Or the only time you spend with other actors are in an audition room when you're competing against each other. So I just felt like there wasn't really a home base or a community or a place for actors, artists, creators to talk about the things that only we understand about each other. Like you can't really talk to your family if they're not actors or creatives about what it feels like to get your project rejected or to not book that job that you really wanted. So we have this community of people that we also feel isolated from because we're always in competition or jealousy. So I thought, well, wouldn't it be cool to create a universe, like create a club that I want to be part of and invite everyone in that's all about community. So Create actually stands for Community Reclaiming Every Artist's True Expression. So I started this world with my best friend, who's a director and a writer and a producer, and I was coming to the world as a yogi and a meditation learner and an actor. And so we kind of both said, let's just create a community where we talk to people, we talk to artists about spiritual tools. We talk about being in inclusion, being in community, and we talk to people specifically about your dream wants you. The planet was so longing for what you have inside of you that it created you. Like you came here because there is something inside of you that nobody else has. And how can we as community nurture? We always like to say in the same way, it takes a village to raise a baby, it takes a village to raise a dream. And so how can we as community say your dream matters and we're all standing with you to help make it happen?
Wow. So you're already, and for the people that end up watching this or are watching this right now, we just met literally like 4 minutes ago. But I can tell you already that you're definitely a kindred spirit, because the sense of community is something that is very much one of my biggest passions. And I talk about it a lot, building a community, creating a community. And I really think moving forward in the world, that is what we need to do to build a better tomorrow. And I say it again and again. So I really love hearing that you have taken the initiative to create this community. So good job for doing that. How is it working? Like, are other actors, artists, are they getting involved? And how is it being received in the community?
So when it started, it was so adorable. You know, Chris and I got together and we were like, well, how do we start this thing? And it's like, well, let's just start teaching classes and we'll pick topics. Like we'll do a topic on competition, or we'll do a topic about the resistance you get in when you start going after your dream, or we'll do a course about how does an artist make money and have a healthy relationship with money. So we just started like teaching once a week. And at first it was like four people, which was like our best friend and someone we were dating, and then like two actual people, you know? Right. And that's really what happened. And we used to always say, it's just our job to just spread the message and stand for what we stand for. And whether we're talking to one person or 10 million people, the message is the same. So if we just be a stand for community, even when there's two people in the room, let's see what happens. So we started that way. And then quickly, before we knew it, the rooms were full of 20 people and 30 people and 60 people. And then we were doing retreats around the world. And then we were doing like so many things. But what was also cool is that we were being a stand for everybody gets to live their dream. And so Kristen also, as a director and a writer, had other dreams. And I, as an actor, had other dreams. So this was a community that we ended up creating. But then when our dreams would take off, we would stop teaching for a while and go do our dreams. But the community got to still stay intact with each other, which was the gift of it. The community isn't us as leaders. The community is the community.
Yeah, absolutely. So you created this body of this container, right, for this group of people for support and community. And once it was established, you're able, like, it has a life of its own and it can carry on, whether you're actively always being, you know, in charge of running events and things like that or not, because it is a community.
And everybody goes and does their own thing. So it was really fun for us to see people who would meet. Let's say we did a live workshop and people would meet there. And then they would say, hey, I'm a writer. Hey, I'm an actor. And then they would get together and like go make a movie together. And that, so we saw that happening all the time. And so really we evolved it into doing a podcast. We do a podcast every week. We have 165 episodes now and we're listened to all around the world. And so now our community is like a worldwide awesome community of artists from Japan and Australia and America and Canada all saying, hey, I have a dream too. And it's just this awesome way that people can know that they're not alone, because the power is knowing that the thing inside of you that says, I don't know if I can do this, the power of community is that every single person who wants to do something creative also has that voice. And as soon as you realize it's not a you thing, it's a universal thing, then you just do it anyway.
Right. So it's like a collective, supportive community. And not just that, it sounds like it's a place where people are able to meet, collaborate, and start new things together. So the term create, when you created it, may not have, you may have not even, did you even know how perfect the word create was going to be? Or is that something that afterwards you started to realize, wow, that was really like cosmic forces and, you know, a perfect message for me to create, because now it's creating other things. Like it's so perfect on so many levels. Right.
We weren't clever enough to know that. That was divine. That was just something that was given to us that we didn't even know, and still don't know what I do think that it's part of being a human being is we never really know what we have, and we never really understand the gifts that we've been given. And part of the discernment of being able to open up and look around and say, wow, we were given the gift of this thing. And it really started so selfishly for me. It was me as an actor sitting in an audition room, feeling isolated, feeling alone, feeling like my family or people even in my friend group didn't really understand me, and just feeling really the need to be connected to people.
Right.
And turning into this thing where there's a Facebook page and a Facebook group, and from time to time we do offerings and events where you see people all come in a room together and share their story, and you feel how universal it is. And never ever does it stop moving me and touching my heart on such a deep level of we're all the same.
Right.
We're all so deeply the same. And
that's,
we need
so awesome. Yeah, and we do. We all do need that sense of community. I think it's important for people never to feel isolated. I always drive that point home, because feeling isolated is something I think everybody experiences from time to time. No matter how many friends you have, right, you can still end up feeling isolated. And having people reach out to close that gap and create a sense of community is such a beautiful thing. And I had this sense that you were going to say that you didn't really know what you had until after, and because we get these messages or these inspirations or these feelings of intuition of things that we need to do, And the important message, I think, here is in what you did is for other people to follow that inspiration or intuition, because you really don't know what you have until you start doing it and it starts evolving into what it was meant to be, right? Wow. So the Let's Play, that's a book, right? From the Create group.
Yeah, so what we, as we started teaching and doing classes and working with our community, we found some common themes. And one of the most common themes is people get, we call them like hits or downloads, where it's like you're laying in bed or you're, you know, walking in a park, and all of a sudden it's like, I have this idea for something. I want to make this thing, or I want to do this thing, or I want to have a baby, or I want to, and it's like all of a sudden you get this inspiration. And I love how Elizabeth Gilbert talks about it. It's like there's ideas floating around, and then one of them just like picks you and it drops inside of you. So the first thing is knowing that if the idea came to you, it wants to be with you. It's like someone asking you on a date. It wants to be with you. It's interested in you, and it's interested in seeing if you're the right fit for this idea. So then a lot of people said to us, well, I get the idea and I'm really excited. And then the very next thing that happens is I try to think of how I'm going to do it, and I get scared and overwhelmed and lost, and I don't know what to do, and I don't feel worthy of it, and I don't know why, and all the resistance. And then inevitably, I drop the idea. And then usually, you see it manifest in the world somewhere else like a few months later, and you're like, I had that idea, you know?
Yeah, and you do hear people say those stories again and again, like, they're like, oh man, I had that idea like 2 years ago. I wish I would have done it, because look at how successful it became when somebody else followed through with that thought that came from the universal consciousness and dropped into another person, because those ideas do continue on whether you follow through or not. And so there is free will when it comes to like these ideas. Sure, you can get the idea, but if you don't follow through and you don't take action, the idea is going to be passed on to another person to be able to follow through with it.
Totally. And we always thought about it as like, when the dream shows up, you have to romance it. You have to be in a relationship with it. So if, you know, if my dream shows up and I like a romantic partner and I never text and I never call and I'm avoidant, then over time, even if it really loves me, it's probably going to be like, I don't think it's working. I got to go somewhere else, you know?
Right.
So what we started thinking about is what could we develop, especially when like I'm going off to be on a set or Kristen's off directing something, we can't consistently always be around teaching. We're like, what could we create that could almost be like a system that someone could follow? So we ended up creating this online class that was kind of going from getting the idea into the manifestation of the idea. And we talk about all the stages of the process, starting with giving yourself permission to fall in love with the idea and know that it's already fallen in love with you or you wouldn't have it. And the idea, receiving the idea, and receiving the inspired action from the idea. You don't have to take every 5 million step that comes into your mind. It's about the inner listening of like the next inspired action. And so we take you through this process of how, and we also talk about the process of along the way, all the resistance that shows up and how it can show up. So that you develop that online course to really take people through that process. I think it's like 7 hours. It's like a really fun process that you can do step by step over time.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you can binge watch it on a weekend and do it like a course.
Absolutely.
And the Let's Play is the book or the manual for that course. And you can do them as a standalone. You can really just read the book and it gives you all the same information. It's just fun in the video because you get to see our cute outfits and, you know.
Well, yeah, and that's like the full manifestation of your idea and your inspiration. That was a big part of it. So the full experience would include the video, right? So is this Let's Play, is that the PDF that you were talking about?
Yes. So I wanted to, just as a gift, because it's COVID and, you know, I felt super connected to you and what you were telling me that you were all about. Yay. I just wanted to give to anyone who is in your circle or is listening or watching, I wanted to give it as a gift, the PDF of our book. So if anyone is interested, you can go over to our website, which is www.thecreateseries.com. And if you go to the Create Series, you can click on the Create Book and you can get the PDF. And if you just go through the process as if you were going to buy it, and then you put as a discount code, Create Your Life, all caps, Create Your Life. If you put that in the discount code, then you will receive 100% discount and you'll get the book for free.
Thank you so much, Natalie, for doing that. And I will put all the information for people that are interested in downloading that PDF for free in the comments. Well, not the comments, I say that every time. In the description on the YouTube show, and then also in the description on the podcast, so people that listen and watch later on will be able to access that. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Totally. As another bonus, if you're like into the book, but you also want the video series, we wanted to also give you a discount on that. So if you go to the video series and you go to buy, there's a button where you can buy the book and the video series. It's on the same menu as just buying the book by itself, or you can buy the course and the book. And if you click on that one and you put the discount code Create Your Joy, then you'll get the whole thing for $40 off.
Wow. Thank you. That's very nice of you to do. I'm sure everybody appreciates it. And I know there are a lot of creative minds out there. And I think that it's really good to foster creativity, because imagination is very important, especially in the world we live in now and the upcoming times. Having imagination is what's going to make change in the world, because if you can imagine it, you can make it happen, right?
Yeah, because, you know, we can talk about this from so many levels. We can talk about it from the quantum thought level. We can talk about it from like a you know, manifestation level. But basically, in our universe, everything in the quantum field is available. Everything is available. What we want is available. What we don't want is available. And everything in between. And so often we get into a habituation or patterning via neurorigidity, where our mind is thinking the same thoughts over and over. 90% of the thoughts we think are recycled, actually. And so what we want to move into is, am I being a reactor to what I'm seeing outside of myself, or am I being the creator of what I would prefer to see if what I'm reacting to doesn't feel good to me? And so imagination is actually the way we do it. We've been kind of told since we were little that imagination is make-believe, or we're making it up, or that's not the real thing. But imagination is really the bridge to bringing forth from our unconscious what we actually came here to create. And all creation, the creative process, is taking something from that idea, something from that nothing, and bringing it into the world. So if we're reacting, then we're actually not creating. And right. So if you look out into your life and, you know, it's not really going the way you want, the creative process is the empowerment to say, cool, I see all of that. I acknowledge all of that. I don't bypass any of it. I acknowledge it. I go all the way into it. And I also know, as I hold one in each hand, that I am a creator. And so I can actively start creating anything else in this moment, and imagination is a really good starting place.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, there are some people that say, oh, I'm just not a creative type, or they're not at that place yet where they have become a creator. And I think that for me, like, I've always been creative, but I've also gone through the education system. And so going through the education system, through, you know, college, master's degree, they can pull away from and steer you away and program you to use your intellectual mind and turn away from your creative mind. And so unlearning everything that you thought you knew and exploring your consciousness and elevating your consciousness through various techniques. I use meditation a lot. I'm sure you're creative mind has always been pretty active, probably, because it sounds like you've always been using it. But yoga also, opens the consciousness. So yeah. For the people that are struggling with creativity, there are things you can do to start exploring your creative mind and kind of unlocking it and allowing yourself to go back to more of a childlike curiosity when you look at the world. And that opens, it starts opening the door, right?
Yeah. I think that's the only thing you really need to be a creative person is the knowledge that you actually just are one. Like, right. Everything you do all day long is creative. The outfit you put on is creative. The thing you decide to make for dinner, that everything is a creation. Everything is, there was not food and I decided I wanted something. Or, you know, you go to a restaurant and you're looking at a menu and something sparks you. Something says that. And that's a creative choice. That's a creative right. process. You chose a position and then it came, it manifested. Like you said out loud, it's abracadabra. It's like with your words, I'll have the salmon and then salmon showed up. Like that's right. a creative act. And yeah. so getting into the knowing, the first step for me is getting into the knowing that you are deeply creative no matter what you say. Yeah. And the second part is so much of what being an adult is or being in our maturation process, we're taught that the more you know, the better. And we try to walk around telling everyone how much we know about everything. And the creative process feels dangerous only because that's us saying, what's all the things I don't know?
Right.
So allowing yourself to just activate curiosity is the most powerful thing you can do to unlock your creativity. I'm curious yeah. about this person. I'm curious about walking down this street instead of this street. I'm yeah. curious about eating at this restaurant. I'm curious about going to visit this website or listening to this podcast I haven't listened to before. And if you allow that curiosity to lead you, it's something that my best friend Kristen and I talk about a lot when we travel together. We say, let's just follow the cute or let's just follow the charm. So let's just, you know, oh, that street looks adorable. Let's go down that street just because it's adorable, just because it activates something inside of me. And right. so that curiosity always leads you to a different place than all the well-laid plans will.
Yeah, and so it's also intuition, right? I mean, do you agree that like that is also another form, like another word you could use to describe is allowing yourself to follow your intuition, right? If there is like something that like going down that street and yeah, it's a creative idea, but it's also like that intuition and that subconscious mind and your heart talking to you, not mm-hmm. your intellectual mind. So like saying, oh, I'm like given this inspiration, and that's like your creative mind, your intuition saying, check this out. And there's usually a reason why. Maybe there's like a really cool house on that street and you end up taking a picture of their yard because it's like very different and unique and you were meant to see it. And if you ignore that part of yourself, if you ignore that curiosity, then you're missing out on things that could bring like really beneficial experiences to your life.
Totally. And I think that part of the, we all come in to the planet so creative and so inspired and so curious about everything. What's this rock? What's underneath this rock? What's over here?
Right.
And we're sort of trained to stop listening to our own impulses and our own intuition in favor of voices of authority.
Intellect, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that manifests as our own mind being told that the mind is a better place to listen to, or right. What our parents tell us to do, or what an authority figure tells us is the right thing, or what our culture says is the right thing. And so we slowly learn to prioritize the outer as the source of knowing. And
right.
we deeply lose connection to the heart, and the wisdom of the heart. Like the heart actually receives information, even like arguably, it's not quite down to a science yet, but like arguably 3 to 5 seconds before the brain, the heart receives knowing and intuition. And right. so part of really allowing yourself to be creative and rediscover your connection with your authentic self is saying, where do I poll a million people about what I should do instead of just sit quietly with myself and go, well, if money or time or all the things in my mind that I think are issues were not an issue, what would I want? Even if no one else agreed with me, what would I want? What would feel good to me? What would feel exciting to me? What would really, turn me on, like turn the light on inside of me? And so often we don't even ask ourselves because we're so trained. I mean, I think this is a really common example. If someone says, well, where do you want to go for lunch? And you're like, well, I don't know, wherever you want to go. And we mean it. We don't really care. We're not attached to it. But so much of that is, where do I abandon my own sense of what actually pleases and delights me because I'm so tuned into what someone else wants of me?
Right. Right. And so following your heart seems counterintuitive almost when you get to adulthood, because you've been reprogrammed to follow your mind and that authority and structure. And so we do, generally, most people, I think, by the time they reach adulthood, lose touch a lot of times with imagination or following their heart. And it does create a lot of unhappiness or frustration inside of people, and then further manifests into anxiety, depression, you know, mental health issues, because quality of life is lost when you don't follow your heart and you don't allow beauty in your world. So like in my experience, following your heart brings more beauty into your life. And from research that has been done, they show that having beauty, switching it up, not having like a robotic schedule, taking a different way to work even, or on the weekends, going somewhere new, eating at a new place, not staying in the same pattern, actually allows people to have better quality of life and live happier life. So when I do like Facebook posts and stuff, I post a lot of like groups of pictures of beautiful things, right? Stunning images, whether it be of landscape or animals, whatever it is, because the research has shown that bringing beauty into your life actually makes you feel good. It like creates this biochemical reaction within your body. And I always try to like bring some science in for all the skeptics out there that always want to have some like concrete proof. Well, how is this helping me? Because I was one of those people, because I was so trained throughout school to follow my intellectual mind. And I completely lost touch at one point with my intuition. I would not listen to it. And not just your heart, but your gut reactions, right? Mm-hmm. Do you experience like that gut brain axis where your gut tells you like, oh, I have a gut feeling about something and you need to listen to it, right? Have you started experiencing, have you ever lost touch with your creativity or your intuition, because your career shows that it's been very creative?
I lose touch all the time. And I think the gift of losing touch is I get to remember. And so I do think actually it's part of my process that I actually do lose touch almost purposefully to really remind myself of what's important, you know, and to really like reconnect with myself. But specifically, I've really noticed, and this has been something that's been such a gift for me as an actor, but my body will not let me get away with anything. Like, it's like the thing of like, you know, some people can like eat whatever they want and there's no consequence. It's like, I've just never had that body. I have the body that like, when it doesn't like something, it really lets me know, and it really lets me know strong. So I've been in moments in my life where I've been in the wrong relationship, and my body will just not work properly. I remember once that I was in like this tumultuous relationship, and I actually was walking down the street, and all of a sudden I just couldn't walk anymore. And it was almost, and I ended up having like this problem with my hip where it was like this really bizarre thing where I was like, all of a sudden I had this 90-year-old hip, and they're like, you might have to have a surgery. And I couldn't walk. Like, I was crawling to get home, and it was 5 weeks that I couldn't walk. And of course, I just went to, well, this is physical and something weird happened. Maybe I wear too many high heels or who knows. And right. You know, I saw all the doctors and I was getting acupuncture. I was doing the Eastern and the Western and, you know, they wanted to put me on all these medications and I was just trying to navigate the whole thing. Like, wow, is this my new reality?
Right.
And I really got so quiet with myself and I thought, what's the deeper thing that's going on here?
Yeah.
And really, like, what I got really present to was, first of all, there was a creative project that I had been avoiding. There was an idea that had come to me that I had totally avoided doing. So I was like, okay, well, while I can't walk, I'm just going to sit on my computer every day and write. And when I finished, it was like a 40-page project. And when I finished it, I got up off the couch and I took a step.
Okay. Yeah.
I was like, well, I still couldn't walk, but I could take a step. And I was like, okay, that was connected. I got right. My creativity and my body talked to me about it. And then I got super present too. I was like, so that was the creative aspect. So what's the emotional aspect? And what's the spiritual aspect? Yeah. And I got super present to, I was in a relationship in a situation that was toxic for me. And so my body was saying, we will not let you take one more step forward. And unless you start walking away from this situation that's not serving you, we're not letting you walk anymore as protection. Like that was all like what I understood through meditation, through not being able to move, through just talking to my body. I know it sounds like very woo-woo. So I made the changes energetically in my heart. I said, okay, I see why I've made the choices I've made. I see the pain of my past or my childhood that caused me to walk in this direction. I see where I haven't thought I deserved more. I see my own unlovability and I'm willing to heal that. I'm willing to give myself love. I'm willing to do what it takes to reparent myself or to show myself the love that I need. And that was the moment where wouldn't you know, the next thing I know, I'm just walking around. And right. I went to my doctor for the x-ray. They're like, we don't know what happened. The bones moved.
Right. So like a lot of times this happens to people and they still ignore it, or they'll be like, oh, it was a miracle, or oh, it was magical, right? When really something you can consider it a miracle, you can consider it magic, but really you addressed that energetic issue that was going on with you and you followed through with something that your body was literally saying, okay, no more. And I have experienced similar things. I used to live with body pain on a daily basis, right? Like doctors are like, oh, we don't know, fibromyalgia and oh, your body, I got hit by a drunk driver over a decade ago and she totaled my car and she was in like a big truck and I was in a little car. And my body does have like, you know, it's crooked and stuff. But I can tell you, I used to wake up in agony on a regular basis and have a hard time walking, have a hard time doing any activity. And I would just muscle through it, right? Go to the gym for 5-6 hours, start running marathons, like push through it. And it ended up like being okay. Like I was able to do those things because of my willpower and my stubbornness and determination. But now, like, I still lived in pain. Now I don't have pain like I did. And it changed when I addressed my energy and like my deeper self or my higher self. So I think that that's really the key, is to turn inward. And allow yourself to really dig deep and figure out, well, what is holding me back, you know, and taking the time to do that. It's so funny that your body, it's not funny, like ha-ha funny, but it is funny in a way that your body holds you back and trying to send you messages that you keep refusing to listen to, right? When you're resistant, your body's like, no more.
And one thing I love is yoga has, in the philosophy of yoga, they have so much wisdom. You know, I think a lot of people think of yoga as poses and like a yoga class that you take, but the wisdom tradition of yoga, and grateful that this culture has allowed us in the West to, you know, do these practices and learn this wisdom. It's such an incredible thing. It's an incredible gift. I'm so grateful that I've been gifted the lineage of being able to learn it. But yoga talks about that suffering is when you link two things together that should not be linked together. And I was like, that is such a clear and obvious thing. Like when you are dating the wrong person, suffering. Yeah. Like when you say my self-worth is based on the number on the scale, suffering, right? Like when you link two things that are not meant to be linked together, you cause yourself suffering. So what I find really interesting is that the pain becomes the opportunity to say, what have I linked, right? Yeah. So if I notice my physical body in pain, what have I linked? Like I've linked my love ability to this thing or this person or this situation, and I'm meant to link my own lovability to myself. So anytime I link it to someone else, I'm going to end up disappointed. I'm going to end up in suffering. And it's really easy to blame the circumstance, the person, the situation, but the healing that will happen from the inside out when I get truly linked and connected to who I really am. Yeah. And that's why I call it being activated, because when you're linked to yourself, your highest good, your higher power, your truth, your authenticity, who you came to be on the planet, the yogis call it your dharma, your purpose, when you're in harmony and alignment with the whole cosmos, when you're linked to that, you are so free. You're unstoppable. Anything is possible. And so pain that shows up in our life that feels not bad isn't a punishment. And it's really important to know you didn't do anything wrong. You just might be linked to something that's not your highest good.
Right. And the pain is like an indication that you need to pay attention. It's like an alarm clock. And it's going off. It's an alarm. And it's saying, okay, this is the pain. That means pay attention. Sitting and holding that pain is what suffering is. And suffering is unnecessary, but the pain is a blessing because it's an indication to us that we need to pay attention and focus on inward, you know, figure out where that pain is coming from. So the activated actor technique, what is that?
Oh, it's so fun. Well, so, you know, being an actor is like my favorite thing, you know, besides even conversations like this, obviously, it's all my favorite thing. But what I learned through just years of studying with brilliant teachers and amazing lineages and like just in my own practices, but really like what I learned through the artistic process is that acting is such a sacred gift, because when you act, you vulnerably tell a story of what it is to be human. And so many of us humans don't want to tell the stories of how we're human, because we want to tell the stories of how we're perfect. We want to tell the stories of how everyone has to like us. And there's something about acting where you get to drop all of it, all the masks we walk around wearing, and we get to be in the authentic truth of the mess of what it is to be a human being. Like we just get to be in the mess. And then someone else watching the performance through, you know, an audience, through TV screen, they get to know their own experience with their own permission because of what you were able to embody. So for me, it's like one of the greatest gifts in the world is to be an actor, to be an artist, to be a storyteller. And that includes any creative act, you know, whether you're writing or creating a song or creating a dance. It's just this opportunity to create truth that can create healing. So I think that art and spirituality are just linked, and if not linked, exactly the same thing, same process. So what I did is I took all of this wisdom that I learned from the spiritual places I was studying and really in love with, and I combined them with acting. So it's like, what would it look like for an actor to bring their spirituality, their truth, their authenticity to a role? So I created this like fun technique that's just a way for people to play in a different way. And in yoga, we talk about the two lines of energy that dance inside of our body. And so I kind of took these two lines of energy and interpreted them in like an acting technique. And it's just like a really fun thing.
So with acting, it's like you do bring your own authenticity, but you're also like pretending to be somebody else, right? So
it's really interesting because it always feels like, oh, this is a character I'm going to put on.
Right.
The truth is, the character is, I mean, it's lines, it's black ink on a piece of paper. There's no character there. The thing that I am actually being is myself every time. And it's what I know about this. So I might not have lived this circumstance. Maybe I'm pretending to be someone who grew up in a different country or has a different circumstance than I have in my own life. But energetically, I know everything about what that person's experienced. And so I bring the essence of what I know about that to the role. And that's where there's kind of a magic commingling between what the writer was creating and then what I get to bring to it.
That's such a gift too, because then I feel, okay, a couple of things this makes me, I've never really thought about the life of an actor or actress to this level. So this is really like one of those aha moments for me. So you, not only do you get the roles that you end up doing for a reason, right? Because nothing is random.
Always.
Number two, then you somehow, the actor or actress is meant to be in this role and meant to learn about whatever, you know, the person that you're portraying on film, in the film or on TV, and then more about the experience. And that probably sometimes would, I don't know, inspire you to take action. Like, for example, if you were playing somebody that went through a struggle or that experienced trauma, that might generate something inside you to want to do something in that community with people that have experienced that situation, right? Because that allows you to really not only learn about it, but become it, right? So how do you have a technique for, like, I know that during meditation and energy healing practices and things that I do, I come up with visualizations to disconnect from the energy. Is that something that you have found is very important as an actor to disconnect from your portrayal of the character you're playing so you don't start taking on or manifesting things from that person? You know what I'm, do you know what I'm saying?
Okay. You're so onto a real nuance of being an actor that's so profound. It's so
cool. Yeah.
But oftentimes you see in Hollywood, you see these examples of, wait, these two people did a movie together and now they're leaving their spouses and being together. And it seems like, how could people? But it's really this, if you open your heart to the experience, it's, you know, people go through this profound transformational journey together, playing love for one another, and it's real. It's real. It's not like you can compartmentalize what you bring to a role. And so you're right, when it's time to say, okay, the role is over, it's like a death. It's really something you have to grieve and you have to mourn and really surrender and let go. And so I've definitely had roles. I have a film that's coming out. I think it's going to come out this year, but I play a woman who was being abused by her partner, or at the beginning of the film, that's the perception. And as the film goes on, you actually see how she has, you know, manipulated and emotionally, psychologically been abusive herself through the arc of the film. So it was really interesting because after I was on location shooting, so I was away. Mm-hmm. And then when I came back to my home and my space, and I was excited, and I'm going to take a bath. And I remember that night, I got home really late. And that night I was sick. I vomited. And I was like, oh, it's so interesting. And I felt like it was all of that trauma and tension that character was holding. It was like it had released from my body. Yeah. And it was really interesting that I had such a physical, and I was like, I'm going to have a salt bath. But even for a week or two after that, my husband had said, hey, you're being a little sharper with me than normal, or, you know, like you're just being a little snippy, or you're a little there was a part of me that thought, well, I think I'm just tired because we had a lot of long days shooting. We had a lot of 16 days on set. But I was like, no, there's actually a part of the character that's still activated in me. And so I really have to do ritual around releasing her when I'm through with her. Like, thank you so much. Thank you that we got to tell this story together. To the muses, like, thank you so much for infusing me with the essence and energy. And now let me release it, you know, because yeah. That's not an energy I want to carry around anymore.
Wow. You know, that really inspires me to want to work with actors and help them do this, because, like, just listening to you, and it really, you know, all the pieces just came together into my head of what it would be like to have to do that, and the dangers that can go along with that for the actor's health and well-being. Yeah, I would love to work with actors, man, and help them, yeah. The ones that struggle with the
disconnect. Yeah, and actors go with their whole heart, their whole body, and that's why you see a lot of Robin Williams and Heath Ledger's, like, you see a lot of sickness, you see a lot of addiction, you
drugs,
see
trauma, emotional irregularity and problems regulating, and not only that, like, relationship turmoil and instability, things like that. It's a hard thing to do. It's like a roller coaster if you don't know how to ride the wave, right? It can be like
kind of relating it back to create. That's why it's so important to create community around what you do. It's
absolutely
so important to not be isolated. It's so important to have a support system. It's so important to bring these holistic tools to your work, because your work can have its way with you, and you want to make sure that you know how to take care of yourself.
Yeah, definitely. So the path of play, we haven't talked about that yet, have we?
The path of play is the, well, kind of like loosely, that's what like our course is.
Okay.
We like to think of it as play. My best friend, Kristen, and I, who I keep talking about, she's lovely. You guys have to come and see us on our cute.
I would love to do an interview with her too.
You'll fall so in love. The path of play is the on kind of the same tip of like what gets conditioned out of us. Is I always use this kind of funny example. So the union that represents actors is called SAG in the United States, and so that's like a really important thing, because if you're an actor and you want to make sure that you get paid, you want to make sure that you get paid on time. Like this is the union that helps protect us, and it keeps things running safely for us.
Yeah.
But almost as a joke, I always say, but when I was 5 years old, telling my cousins, okay, we're going to do a play in Grammy's basement. You're going to play this person. I'm going to play this person. I'm going to sing a song. Blah, blah, blah. Like it's just the creative process and it's all about play. Right? Yeah. So you're so just motivated, like you're going to be a frog, you're going to be a monkey, I'm going to do this. And there's no barriers because it's play. And at some point as actors, it's like, well, I'm not showing up unless I get my SAG rate, and unless this happens, and it's like, how can I hold both in each hand where I am, you know, making sure that, you know, I'm getting value and I'm getting paid for what I do.
Right.
Play, like how can I not turn into the person who, now that I do this as a job and no longer as, you know, just being a human who's playful,
right?
How can I keep the path of play alive in whatever I'm doing? And we could argue that for parenting, like, yes, you're keeping your kids alive, yes, you're making sure they get to school on time and making sure they're eating, but making also sure that play is still on the menu, that there's still that I'm enjoying you. I enjoy that you're here in my space with me. It's not just a job that I'm fulfilling. And so I think for all of us, whenever we take the thing that we're really passionate about and take it from being a passion and turn it into our job, the first thing that gets lost is play, because we start to take it and ourselves way too seriously.
Yes.
I just want to be a stand. And this is an experiment. It's an experiment in curiosity for me. Because obviously I'm not like a really big, fancy, famous actor. So maybe all this doesn't work. Who knows? But I want to be a stand that I do the jobs that feel good for me and I say no to the ones that don't. And I do the things that light me up and I don't do the things that don't light me up. And if I want to say no to this movie because I want to go on this fun adventure and travel around the world, I'm going to do that instead. And it's not going to make me less serious about what I'm doing, but it makes it so that play is the driving force of my life. But at the end of the day, all of the projects I do are love poems to myself.
And right, love and you're enjoying joy. You have a joy-filled life rather than dreading having to do something, right? Because if you did do the movie instead of going on your adventure, would you have done the best job that you normally would do because you might be fantasizing about being the place that you really wanted to be? So being present in the moment and making choices that allow you to happily be present in the moment, right?
Yeah, so it's kind of like, let me do all the things, like let me not abdicate responsibility in any way. Let me show up fully for everything that needs to get done. I'm gonna brush right. my teeth every day. I'm gonna, you know, pay my bills. I'm gonna do my taxes. I'm gonna do all yeah. the things. But let me also make sure that while I'm being responsible to my life, I'm also making sure my life is a place that I wanna be. That it's a fun place, that it's a place that I would want other people to come and play with me in, and
absolutely.
Not inundated with this thing called work and achievement and trying to get somewhere else, that I forget that the somewhere else I'm trying to get to is joy and play, and I can actually be there now.
Absolutely, and the only time we have is right now, really, because like the future doesn't exist, the past doesn't exist, the only moment that we actually know exists is literally right now. We have memories of the past, we have ideas about the future, but living in now and realizing that right now is the only moment that truly exists, like realizing that, it's like, oh wow, you know, I need to learn how to be here now in the moment, every moment you can, rather than spending all of your moments thinking about future or past, because yes. that takes away from the current moment.
And as an actor, you know, oftentimes you rehearse a scene and something amazing happens and you're like, oh, how can I recreate that? And it's like, you can't, because the amazing thing that happened came out of you being so present and so relaxed and so free that if you try to recreate it in the future, now you're trying to bring past into future, right? As opposed to allowing yourself in the future to be free and present again, and something else will come that'll be equally as joyful and feel equally as good. But it takes a deep level of trust in your own instrument.
Yeah. You know,
if I surrender it. Right.
Yeah, one of the things I really like to specialize in is helping people raise their level of conscious awareness, raise their abilities in mindfulness and meditation practices, and also really help people develop their intuition and develop ways of trusting their intuition. Mm-hmm. Because I really think that that's important in being able to like live a joyful life. They are all connected, right? So the shadow and resistance that you were talking about, can you tell me a little bit more about integration of shadow and resistance?
Yeah. So for, if we talk about it from like a writer's perspective, which I translate a lot as any creative process, Stephen okay. Pressfield is like the best resource on this ever. He has this amazing book called The War of Art. And it's really for writers about what to do when you get into resistance in the writing process. But you can take everything he says and it just applies to life in general. It's such a masterpiece.
Yeah.
And he talks about resistance being the negative force that arises anytime you're going from a lower level to a higher level. So in that frame, it's like, oh, I feel resistance. Oh, yay, I'm growing. I'm yeah. going somewhere I've never been before. Oh, so the resistance isn't a sign to retreat. It's not a sign to go backwards. It's not a sign that you went the wrong direction. It's not a sign that you made a mistake. Resistance is like, oh, this thing that I've been wanting to like grow, to go to the next level, it's happening. So you can start to frame that when resistance shows up, it's actually a good thing. It actually means that you're walking down the path you said you wanted to walk on, and the yeah. natural things are coming up. So if you can really hold it with an open hand and say, okay, resistance, I see you and I acknowledge you, and I'm just going to keep on taking the next step. I see you over there. Elizabeth Gilbert talked about it as fear and creativity always go on the ride together, but fear is not allowed to drive the car. It can sit in the back of the car, it can come on the journey, but it's not allowed to pick the music. It's not allowed to drive the car. So you see the resistance and you say, oh, I see you, and I see the part of myself that's afraid of you, and I give that part of myself love. And I just keep taking the next step because I know that you're here to actually show me I'm on the right path, not the wrong path. And then when we talk about incorporating the shadow, for me, it's really a deep exploration. I mean, Debbie Ford does really beautiful stuff around shadow work, and Deepak Chopra does a lot of beautiful work around shadow work. But when I think of the frame that it shows up in my life as, it's anything inside of myself that I am not absolutely in love with, or that I'm ashamed of, or that I think is inappropriate, or I don't like, or I don't want anyone to know about me, that gets projected as separation into the world around me. So whatever I see is not acceptable in myself, I actually project it outside of me, and I create separation outside of me. So in terms of the world that we live in today, if we really want to heal, we have to get that anything that I dislike in myself or I disown in myself, I am projecting a separation outside of myself, and I'm part of perpetuating a problem. And so my one and only job is to spend so much time with myself. And I talk to actors about this before auditions. Before you walk in and do an audition, look in the mirror, look in your own eyes, look at yourself and connect with your own eyeballs and say, like, we get to act today. Like, I know you're nervous. I know you're scared. I know you don't want to mess it up, but like, we get to do the thing we love the most today. And I'm so proud of you. And this is awesome, right? So connecting with yourself. And so when you notice the part of yourself come up that you don't like, and it happens to us all the time, because there's a lot of parts of ourselves that we've been told are not good, or we shouldn't like, or are not appropriate. Right. When you notice that part come up that you're ashamed of, it's your job to love it. It's just your job to go, ooh, this part of myself I really want to condemn. If I condemn it in me, I will condemn it in the world. And I create separation and isolation and loneliness. My one and only work is whatever darkness I see in myself, to love it. Because otherwise, I project that darkness is bad in the world. And I keep myself and the world around me small and separate. And it perpetuates the issues that we see largely around us now.
Right. And we create that illusion of separation between different parts of ourselves and with the outside world. And that is doing a disservice to us because we are connected with everything. Like, where really is that separation between me and the table, or me and you, right? Like, we are all connected. I think shadow work is important, embracing all parts of yourself, because if you're condemning part of yourself, you're creating the friction within yourself. And then how is somebody supposed to actually succeed and function in life and in their endeavors if they're creating this like separation between parts of themselves, or compartmentalizing different parts of themselves, embracing it all? I really like that you do that, the eyeballs, right?
And it's interesting with actors, we get a chance to really look at this part of ourselves all the time, because all the time I will be asked to play a character that I'm like, oh, well, I'm nothing like that. Or, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I let's say in the example, I was asked to play someone who murdered someone in a film. It's like, oh, well, I would never do that. It's like, okay, right. But for the grace of higher power, but for the grace of life circumstances, maybe you would do that. And can you look at the part of yourself that wants to create that kind of person is bad, and I'm not that kind of person? And in playing the role, there's a rule. I can never judge the character I'm playing, because then I'm not playing them, I'm playing at them. Okay. And so to fully embody the character, if that character is someone who has committed a crime, I can't be simultaneously playing the person who committed the crime and playing the person who's judging the person who committed the crime.
Right, you can't, no judgment.
No judgment. So what work do I have to do on myself? I have to say, well, oh, well, if I really look at what the backstory of this person is, I look at that life circumstance, I look at how they were treated, I look at all the circumstance that led up to this, and can I open my heart big enough to say, I don't agree with the behavior, but I can see why it got to that point.
Right, or and, just standing in a place of non-judgment, and you're an observer, portraying this person.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah, being an actor is definitely a challenging and very gratifying job, right?
The rub. We're all acting all the time. We're all wearing, I'm wearing this human suit called Natalie right now, playing the character of Natalie, but it's not who I really am. I'm a soul. I'm an energy.
We're all souls. Yeah.
That's actually the same energy as you are. So you have the blonde wig on and I have the brunette wig on, you know? But it's all made up. So if in the same way an actor as an exercise practices being a witness in non-judgment, can I in my life as Natalie do that same thing no matter who I come across, and then I start to heal the shadow?
Right, because we are spirits going through, we're having a human experience.
Yeah.
We have a soul, we have a body, and a mind, but we are a spirit, right?
Yeah.
And the human experience can be one of, wonder, joy, pain sometimes, but how many times are we going to have a human experience when we come to Earth or wherever we're born, right? So having gratitude all the time, gratitude is just so important. I don't know how much with yoga, probably you practice gratitude often. So for me, gratitude has really allowed me to experience joy every single day, really all the time, because there's always things to be grateful for, and gratitude really allows people to feel happiness and peaceful inside, because when you stop, no matter how frustrated you are in the moment or no matter how many things might seem to be going wrong, you can always find things to be grateful for. And feeling gratitude switches everything inside of you, right?
Totally. The very, very first kind of spiritual book I read was called The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. I don't know if you know it, but it's so profound. He's so profound. But he talks in this book about how consciousness is always drawn to the object of distraction or the object of pain. So if I get out of bed and stub my toe, my consciousness goes to the sore toe. It forgets that my ear is fine. It forgets that my hair is fine. It forgets that my finger is fine. It's like the only thing that's happening is that sore toe, right?
Yeah.
So part of gratitude, or as the yogis talk about it, that deep contentment, is knowing that it's like, yes, and. It's like, yes, my toe is sore and my finger is not.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm in this pain. And the sun is shining. Yes, this horrible thing is happening. And I got this loving text from someone. And you know, the beautiful paradox of life is that it's all always happening at the same time.
Yeah.
And what we focus our consciousness on is an act of creativity.
Wow, that is an aha, right? So before we finish up on everything, because I realize, you know, time goes by so fast when I'm talking to you.
So fun.
I know, it is so fun. The book that you wrote, what is that about? What inspired you to write this book? And what is it about?
Oh, this is actually, it's really in alignment with what we were just talking about you could focus on the stub toe or do something else. I had moved from Canada to the US and my green card was in process. And then all of a sudden my green card got denied. And they were like, well, you can reapply, but it's going to take 9 months. And I was like, well, what am I going to do for 9 months? I can't work. I can't make money. I mean, I was really in I was in a moment of panic and chaos. I was like, well, you know, I could move back, but then I'd have to give up my apartment and get in. Like, it just felt like such an overwhelming disaster. And so in meditation, with yoga practice, just getting quiet, waiting for direction, I just heard, you got to write this book. And basically what I when I had moved to New York, I was really like obsessed with Sex and the City, much like many other.
Oh, I used to watch that. Yeah.
So I had this like fantasy of sitting in my brownstone in New York with my little coffee or my cocktail and just like writing a la Carrie Bradshaw, like writing my little book and, you know, then running around the streets of New York looking adorable. So this was my fantasy. Now, obviously it didn't manifest exactly as this fantasy because I had like $40 in my pocket, but what did manifest is I got to sit in this beautiful brownstone and my little adorable apartment, and I just started writing, and I didn't exactly even know what I was writing, but it ended up being these 30 moments of my life that had made the greatest impact of me, and this was right before I was turning 30. So I thought, okay, well, I'll write this book about the 30 things I learned in my first 30 years, and I wrote it for myself. I self-published, and I self-published with a company that was associated with Hay House, and then Hay House was like, hey, you know, we take a few authors every year and, you know, offer some bonuses to them if you're interested, and you can do like a Hay House interview and you can do a few little things. And I was like, so the ball just rolled in this really organic direction.
Awesome.
I was able to, you know, help spread the message a little bit. And so ultimately this was just a book about what a person who's on the edge of 30 has learned thus far. But it was really empowering for me that I was really just writing for myself. I wasn't writing even thinking anyone would ever read it. So then the gift, when it did come out, and so many people were like, this chapter, I so resonate with that. Or, oh my gosh, this thing you described, yeah, I totally get that. And so it, again, kind of looping back to the very beginning, it created community. It created for me during a time when I felt really alone in life, it created a sense of connection and community that I couldn't have expected. That was really powerful.
That's so amazing. So 30 reasons, okay. I'm trying to think, so it kind of reminded me of one of those life coaching exercises, right? Where people are asked to look at like, create a roadmap of their life in the different things that have happened throughout their life that were pivotal, right?
Wow, interesting, yeah.
And so it reminds me, like, almost like you were doing your own life coaching exercise just as, like, a journaling hobby that ended up turning into a published book that is helping other people. That's really awesome.
And that's why part of the creative process is you just say yes to the part of it that you know. And you don't worry about where it goes. Like if you're gonna make a movie, you can't be thinking, is it gonna go to the film festival? Are people gonna watch it? Is it gonna win an award? Because you'll freak yourself out and you won't just take the step in front of you, which is, you know, call and see if this person's available on this day. Like that's the only thing you can worry about. So it's like when you have the vision of all the things that keep you excited about the thing, but ultimately, you just do the one next step and you let yourself off the hook that it even needs to be good. Like you write for yourself. You make a meal for your own taste buds. You know, you raise your kids so that you get the enjoyment of being with these humans and watching them grow. You just do it for the moment itself and you have no idea where it's all going to end up. But I think that when you stay present and you do it with the pure intention of just creativity, joy, play, exploring, learning about yourself, loving a piece of yourself you didn't know was there to be loved, then all of a sudden the thing you're making always ends up blowing your mind.
Right, because the energy, you set the intention, you put your energy in, and then the universe handles the rest, right? Or universe, God, you know, whatever people's belief system is, that entity does the rest for you. And as long as you're present in the moment doing it, that is the part that you're responsible for.
Like if I, as an actor, thought I had to make the whole TV show, it's like, I'm not the one holding the microphone. I'm not the one holding the camera. I'm not the one setting up the lights, thank goodness, because if all of that was my job, we would never get anywhere. It would take me so long to figure out how to do every single thing. Yeah. No one would ever watch that TV show. So thank goodness I only have to show up for my part of it. And there's other people that are always going to get called in to do the rest.
Yeah, there's so much beauty in collaboration, right? Yeah. And showing appreciation and understanding and acknowledgement of all the parties involved. And that is the beauty of it, right? Making sure that other people know that, yes, I'm the one, you know, on the screen, on the show, on TV, in the movie, but every single member of that collaboration is equally important, because without all of them, it never would happen, right?
Exactly.
And it takes the energy of everybody. It's very symbolic of the world, right? To me, I think that people sometimes don't feel like they're important. And this theme has been coming up in a lot of the interviews. It's making me think about how important every single soul on earth is, and how we're all collaborating in the universe, you know, in the multiverse, if you go into multiverse theory. But really, every single person is equally important. And you don't know when you choose to do something how it's going to affect the energy in the rest of the world. You know, like you can look at the butterfly effect, or dropping a thing in the ocean and having the ripples go and then the waves, and how it affects the rest of the world. But it really is true that we are all connected and everyone is equally important. So I love being able to use things, platforms like Facebook, and now with this podcast and the show, to be able to remind people how important that they are, right? It's a beautiful thing that we can do. So
it's a gift that you're giving. I just want to acknowledge you, that you are using your time, your energy, your platform to create so much connection. And the ripple effect of that is so big. So for everyone listening, you know, you and I met only, you know, an hour ago.
Yeah.
But the connection is so readily available when people come together with the intention of co-creation, that we can't forget how big our impact.
Right. Yeah, it is inspiring, or hopefully inspiring, for other people to be able to create something on their own or collaborate with their friends and start creating something. People that are out there that have ideas right now, download that free PDF that Natalie has so awesomely, is that even a word? It is now. wonderfully sharing with everybody, and get started on these creative projects, because you never know what it will turn into, but if you allow the process to start, that's the start of something, and who knows what will come of it, right?
Yeah. And I totally would invite anyone who is interested, who's on Facebook. We do have a Facebook page. It's like obviously totally free, and we post, you know, quotes and ideas, and our community members are awesome. And that's a really good place to connect and say, hey, I'm scared.
I want to join.
Yes. And someone will say, I'm scared of that too. And it's just create the acronym c.r.e.a.t.e community, create community Facebook page. Come and find us, because you'll hear about all the things we're up to, and we're just there as a place of support so that you don't have to feel alone. And I would totally love for you guys to go and get your free gift, get the PDF.
Woo-hoo! Yay. I definitely want to, because I have stifled my creative side for so long, and this year I'm letting it come back out in full force, right? So is there anything that we didn't discuss or cover that you wanted to talk about while we still are live and recording and doing this?
All I would say is to anyone who is listening, just make sure you take a moment every day to acknowledge yourself and thank yourself for being in this conversation, for showing up another day on the planet. You're important and you're so valuable. And this moment in time is really changing and chaotic. We're in a big transition and you're here, and you're here for a reason. And your reason is not less than anyone else's reason. And you have gifts that have been given to you because the world has a deep desire for it. And so just keep being curious, because you may not yet know how profound you are. And that's going to be an exciting thing for you to learn.
I love that. So I'm going to end the Facebook Live real quick.
Bye, friends.
Goodbye, friends on Facebook.
Thanks for listening.
And then we will hopefully meet again soon. I really look forward to doing some future collaborations if possible. Thank you so much for your time, your insight, your free gifts, your invitation to your community. I really would love it. And for all the listeners and viewers of the podcast and YouTube show, thank you for watching. I hope you got some good insights from Natalie's experience and her just perspective, right? So thank you everyone.
Yes, and thank you for what you're doing. Really appreciate it.
Oh yes, thank you for appreciating. We're in like the early stages. We'll see what comes of it. Hopefully it helps some people.
Amazing.